From KERA in Dallas, Fort Worth, Denton, it's Anything You Ever Wanted to Know. Good afternoon. I'm Jeff Whittington. Our telephone number is 800-933-5372. And of course, and as always, you can email your questions and answers to us this hour at anything@kera.org. That's what Lena did in Dallas. Lena asks, while cleaning out my refrigerator of outdated dairy products and past their prime leftovers, I began to wonder, what's the best way to dispose of these items and to have the least effect on the ecology? One, should I put it down the garbage disposal, thus using lots of water and necessitating cleanup through our sewage processing plants, or should I put it into the garbage, adding to landfills via garbage trucks, which use gas and cause pollution? I'm sure we'll get lots of suggestions on that. And I would just say, if it's not meat, compost it. Let's see. PGL writes, grandchildren come up with interesting questions for which I don't have answers. One, why does a cow wear a bell? Two, why do we call street holes potholes? 800-933-5372. Email anything@kera.org. Andrew in Frisco writes, the new line of Mercedes-Benz vehicles have a suspension that makes the wheels tilt in the wheel well during turns. What is the benefit of this? Bill in Dallas asks, does anyone know if, once we are able to fully exploit the potential of stem cells, will we be able to regrow gums and or teeth? Great question. 800-933-5372. Email anything@kera.org. Let's see. Jason says, I'm interested in marketing and selling a product that I have created through infomercials. Does anyone have a suggestion on where to go or who to call to get started on the infomercial path? Chris is writing from somewhere. When I go through the closed caption settings on my television, I see a variety of types, including CC1, CC2, CC3, among others. What are all these different closed caption channels for? Brian asks, is there a method, probably by using a computer, to retrieve the closed caption text on a television broadcast in print? And in answer to last week's question about closed captioning, let's see, Ricky writes, to display closed captions on HDTV with my Time Warner cable transmission, I had to turn this feature on the set-top box. He says, I believe you should turn off the set-top box, then press the menu key to get the special set-top box menu. I hope it's something similar with Dish Network's setup box also. From the answer stack, lots and lots of emails about the cry it out issue. And lots of people took issue, rather, with the cry it out method. Jeanette in Dallas says to the caller who asked about different studies done on babies whose parents chose either the cry it out method of putting babies to sleep or other methods. As with many parenting questions, Jeanette says, emotions run high on the answer to what is the best method to get a child to sleep. The Ferber method, its variations, while widely used, is only one sleep strategy out there. Jeanette suggests reading The Baby Sleep Book by Dr. Sears, suggests reading Healthy Sleep Habits, Healthy Child by Dr. Mark Weisbluth. Let's see. There's also an email from Margaret, who is writing from the Behavioral Sciences University of Texas School of Public Health in Dallas. Margaret says, I'm a mother of two as well as a researcher in early child development, and I would like to echo what a caller said regarding individual differences. Unfortunately, crying it out does not necessarily work for all children because it doesn't take into account differences in child temperament. One caller mentioned that boys have poor self-regulation skills and girls. It's not only that there are gender differences. Even within gender, you will find a range in ability to self-regulate. The bottom line, Margaret says, is there's no one-size-fits-all when it comes to parenting. And Rick, this will be the last one we'll take on this. Rick recommends the book Healthy Sleep Habits, Happy Child by Mark Weisbluth for good advice about how to get your kids to sleep well at most any age. He says it made a huge difference with our second son. Regarding the question about whether you should sleep with just a blanket or with a blanket and clothes, James in Fort Worth says, when I was in the Army and stationed in Germany for 3 years, we were told we'd stay warmer if we slept in shorts and T-shirts inside our sleeping bag. We rolled our uniform up and kept them by our feet or used them as a pillow. For me, it worked. He says, I still sleep in shorts and T-shirts all year regardless of the temperature. We heat with gas, and there's no heater in the master bedroom, but we stay very warm. A correction to the last show of the year last year regarding the question on which oil is healthier to cook with. Marty says, as a certified clinical nutritionist, I'd like to correct an important health point that came up in the discussion about cooking oils. One caller concluded that pecan oil is more healthful than olive oil. I don't agree. Marty says the reason nutritionists recommend olive oil is because it has 74% monounsaturated fats that reduce the risk of heart disease, cancer, and much more. Pecan oil has only 50%. The caller suggesting macadamia nut oil had the right idea. Macadamia nut oil has 84% monounsaturated fats and a much higher smoke point than olive oil, making it easier and safer to use. It also has extremely low levels of the pro-inflammatory omega-6 fats, but that discussion could get technical. Thanks very much, Marty, for your email. 800-933-5372 is our telephone number, the email address, anything@kera.org. Let's start today with Sue in Springtown. Hello, Sue.
Hello. I've wondered about the song Michael Rode the Boat Ashore. What is that about?
It's a great question.
I also wanted to mention, chime in on the blanket.
Yeah.
I have found if you get rid of a sheet and just use the blanket next to you, you're much warmer.
Very good. We'll mark it down.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sue. Line open, 800-933-5372. Email, always open, of course, anything@kera.org. Nancy in Denton is writing to see if anyone answered the question from a few weeks ago about the TWU buildings, which appear to be all lined up according to size when viewed from the east. Nancy said, I noticed that the question may not have been answered. Instantly, I work at TWU. I contacted the library to see if they knew, but they did not. Does anyone know? 800-933-5372. Email anything@kera.org. Let's talk next to Steve in Greenville. Hello, Steve.
Hey, Jeff. How you doing?
Doing well.
Okay, I was wanting to continue the question I had last week about the freshwater clams. I was wondering if we had gotten a response on that. And my original question was, is when Lake Levan was real low and we had our drought, you could find like big 8-inch freshwater clams. It seemed like there was two types, and I was wondering, are they safe to eat? Do people eat them? What can you make out of them? And then in the fish book, it says that you can catch as many as you want, but you're not supposed to eat them, but it doesn't say why. So I'm really curious because, you know, if we can eat them, I would love to give it a shot, you know. We got buckets full, so
okay.
Someone answered that.
All right.
Free food. So.
Well, you've asked early in the show this week, so hopefully we'll get an answer for you.
Thank you very much, Jeff.
Thanks a lot, Steve.
Bye-bye.
Line open, 800-933-5372. From the very thick answer stack, last week, question about gasoline tankers being oval. Bill says the answer you got was wrong. Gasoline tankers are oval to lower the center of gravity of the vehicle. He says the amount of vapor in the tank is the same regardless of its shape. It's always total capacity minus volume of liquid equals volume of gas. In answer to the question about the oxygen bags that are deployed from an from an airplane when it loses cabin pressure and whether the bags are even necessary. We got a lot of answers, and we got some corrections. James says, the plastic bag is a reservoir, so if you're not breathing as hard as the O2 is flowing, the bag will inflate. He says the best example would be at an empty seat. That bag would be fully inflated. Someone hyperventilating would have an empty bag. The caller who stated that your own breath fills the bag is incorrect. Jason in Fort Worth says the reason for the bag is to dilute the pure oxygen O2 from the canister by mixing it with a person's own breath, thus providing a breathable mixture with a minimum amount of O2. Less O2 required equals less weight. Less weight, the more useful load that can be carried. 800-933-5372. Let's talk next to Holly in Fort Worth. Hello, Holly.
Hi. I was wanting to answer the question about why cows wear bells. I'm guessing that we took the tradition from Bavaria, Austria, and Switzerland, where cows graze in the Alps where there are no fences, and it kept the cow herder and his dog abreast of where the cows were. You can hear them even in mist.
Very
and
good.
Fog.
Very good. Thanks so much.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Line open, 800-933-5372. John says, bells are placed on cows so farmers can hear them moving about and to frighten away predators. Holes in roads are called potholes because they are shaped like large pots. And Liz in Grapevine says, I actually asked my grandfather this question several weeks ago about the cowbells. He grew up on a farm in Wisconsin. He said at least one cow in a herd wears a bell so that the herd can be located when out to pasture. Liz says, I guess that's the case of the simplest answer being the right one. Thanks very much for those answers. Let's talk next at 800-933-5372 to Vicki in Fort Worth. Hello, Vicki.
Hi. I just wanted to say that the question about growing teeth and stem cells.
Yeah.
I think I read an article in the Wall Street Journal just this week about growing teeth.
Okay.
So if I'm trying to see, I'm not getting anything online. I'm not a real good searcher, but
right.
Somebody that is might be able to find that article.
In the Wall Street Journal.
Yes.
Very good. Thanks very much.
Uh-huh. Bye.
800-933-5372. Email anything at KERA.org. Let's see. Other questions from the email box. John writes, my wife and I once lived in Dallas. We sometimes drive by a building that you see driving southbound on 75, Central Expressway that's in downtown. It has a large white square that is lit up at night. What is the square for? That is One Arts Plaza, and I believe it's just for decoration, but someone will call and confirm that. Valerie writes, what is located at 500 West Dove Road in South Lake, Texas? There's a very large building complex with people and cars there 7 days a week. There are no signs or clues as to what this place is. No private property or do not enter signs either. The sign at the marquee at the entrance simply says 500 West Dove Road. Is it a church? Is it a private company? Does anyone know? Call us. 800-933-5372. Let's see. Edwin in Plano asks, on Highway 75 North, the signboards used to say 75 Sherman. Now they say 75 McKinney. Does anybody know why they changed it? 800-933-5372. Up next is Ray in Frisco. Hello, Ray.
Hi.
Yes, go right ahead.
The habit of putting the sheet underneath the blanket comes from the fact that sheets are easier to wash. But if you want better insulation, it's best to put the sheet above the blanket because it acts as a better windbreaker than a blanket.
Very good.
The potholes, as I understand it, comes from the primitive peoples always using the earth as a pot. They would use it for fire pits, or nomadic tribes use a hole in the ground. They would lay like a skin over that and fill it with water to water the camels.
Right.
And that seems to be the most likely way that they would have decided to call holes in the ground like that pothole.
And I've seen people, you know, on camping trips cook with a Dutch oven, and they fill it with all the stuff, and then they dig a hole and sit it down in the hole and put the lid on it and then shovel coals all on top of the lid. So maybe it comes from that, too.
Right.
Or maybe that's a little bit further illustration. Thanks for calling. All right. Line open, 800-933-5372. And that's where we find Ron in Dallas. Hello, Ron.
Hi there, Jeff.
Yes, go right ahead.
I called this in once before and did not receive an answer.
Okay.
I'm just still wondering why we have such a huge variance in gasoline prices in Dallas. It seems to be unique to this city. I just passed a corner, and there was a 20-cent difference in price between two gas stations. And it doesn't appear to be neighborhood/rent related.
Okay. Well, we'll ask again and see if we get an answer for you.
Thanks.
Thanks, Ron. 800-933-5372. In answer to the question about the illustration of oil reserves being, you know, for example, Anwar has X number of months of oil. Dale in Dallas says the U.S. uses 7.5 billion barrels of oil per year. It's estimated that Anwar has between 6 and 16 billion barrels of recoverable oil. So when people say Anwar would cover U.S. oil consumption for 1 year, they're just saying in relation to energy consumption or energy independence. If we could only use Anwar oil, we could be independent for 1 year. But, he says, all oil is sold on the open global market, and you wouldn't get all that oil out in 1 year anyway. So it's just an illustration. We'll be right back. It's anything you ever wanted to know on KERA in Dallas, Fort Worth, Denton. I'm Jeff Whittington. Our telephone number, 800-933-5372. You can also, of course, always email us your questions and answers. That address is anything at KERA.org. One more on the oil production projection illustration. This came from Les, who says, I believe the expression that an area which is prospective for oil, contains, quote, sufficient reserves to supply America's energy needs for X years, is based solely on an assumption of U.S. daily oil requirements. The U.S. currently consumes 20 million barrels of oil per day, according to the Energy Information Agency. So 20 million barrels would satisfy America's total oil-related energy needs for one day. 200 million barrels would keep us in oil for 10 days, and 20 billion barrels of oil would last for 1,000 days, less than 3 years. Although there was legislation passed to restrict oil produced from Alaska's Prudhoe Bay from being exported to foreign countries, this is usually not the case. Regarding the infomercial question, RB says, check out hawthornedirect.com, HAWTHORNEDIRECT, all one word, hawthornedirect.com. RB says this agency, based in Fairfield, Iowa, wrote the book on infomercials. Their client list includes all the biggies. They handle production to media in the infomercial biz and will assess your product for viability. Sean in Plano says, I'm not a civic employee or an environmental expert, but the best thing for the environment regarding food waste is composting. There have been advances to this centuries-old process for degrading organic matter, and it's a lot neater and more convenient than it used to be. There are models that fit any household size and budget, or you can just make your own. Just Google it. You'll get all your answers. In answer to the milk fat question from last week, Barry says, in the USA, skimmed milk is also known as fat-free milk due to USD regulations stating that any food with less than 1/2 gram of fat per serving can be labeled fat-free. And he sends a chart here that has a whole lot of different sort of butterfat content percentages. Butter, for example, is 80% butterfat. Heavy whipping cream is 36%. Half and half is 10.5 to 18%. And let's see, whole milk, 3.25%. 2%, of course, about 2%. Semi-skimmed is 1.5% to 1.8%. And let's see, 1% or low fat is about 1%. And non-fat or skim or skimmed milk is less than 0.5%. 800-933-5372 is the telephone number, and that's where we find Rick in Irving. Hello, Rick.
Hey, how are you?
Doing fine.
Hey, calling about your corbicula, the clams.
Yes.
They're common throughout North America. They're kind of a problem in raw water distribution systems that use lake water, but they are edible. They eat them in Japan. They eat them in China quite a bit. I don't think they're what we would consider palatable, but maybe if they're cooked right, maybe they would be. I found a web page. I guess you could do a search is what I did on corbicula.
Okay.
It's C-O-R... B-I-C-U-L-A.
Very good. Rick, thanks so much.
You bet.
All right. Bye. And let's get an answer on that also from Jeremy in Fort Worth. Hello, Jeremy.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing fine.
I feel really odd that I actually know the answer to this question.
Okay.
But when we were growing up, my father had a irrigation reservoir for the farm, and we would have clams in there, and he tried to make them, you know, good to eat. But he said the key to that, since they were a filter in that environment,
right,
was to sit them in a bucket of fresh water for about a week so they could clean out their systems.
Okay.
And, you know, you can steam them or boil them, but it probably has about the consistency of a rubber hose. So,
all right. Very, very good. Well, thanks very much.
No problem.
800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Last week we had a question about flag code, and let's see, actually Grant, who listens in Brookline, Massachusetts, has an answer to that and an answer to the cowbell. Let's see, Grant says, the U.S. flag code is federal law, but it is not enforced, and the Supreme Court ruled that punishing someone for violating the flag code would be unconstitutional. It's common for local executives, such as governors, mayors, chiefs of police, etc., to request that city, state, and national flags be shown to honor public servants who pass away in the line of duty. Also, Grant will get the last word, or maybe the next to last word, since we got someone holding, on cows. Cows and other livestock, Grant says, wear bells so they don't wander off without being noticed. Sheep commonly wear bells as well. Regarding the flag code question, also Michael and Alan says there are no laws regarding flags. All the rules are simply rules and courtesy. 800-933-5372 is where we find Clint in Bedford. Hello, Clint.
Hi, Jeff.
Go right ahead.
I remember from grade school days, the old weekly readers.
Uh-huh.
This is a little tongue-in-cheek humor answer to the cowbell question. Cows wear bells because their horns don't work.
Very good. Thanks
so
very
just
much.
A little humor for Friday.
All right. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
And let's get one more answer on the cowbell question from Armand in Dallas. Hello, Armand.
Yes, I grew up on a farm, and I just like to let you know the lead clock cow always has the bell. And when it's time to go back into the barn, the lead cow, everybody follows the lead cow, all the other cows.
Very good.
And a lot of people don't realize that, but that's what the reason for the bell is.
Thank you so much.
It's usually the oldest cow.
Yeah, sort of the senior cow.
Yeah.
Very good. Thanks, Armand.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Let's see. Someone asks, PBS used to air a comedy documentary from the BBC where the main character was the cameraman, and all you ever saw was his hand or foot. Does anyone remember the name and where I can find it? Let's see. Bill in Dallas says, I recently saw a constable on the highway with his flashing lights on and someone pulled over. I didn't realize that a constable could pull someone over on the highway like a police car. Can they? What are the limitations of their jurisdiction in this regard? And can they cross county lines and still serve papers? And Bill says, and while we're on the subject of different police vehicles, what exactly can a DART police, Dallas Area Rapid Transit police car, facilitate? He asks. 800-933-5372. Let's talk to Jamie in Fort Worth. Hello, Jamie.
Hello.
Yes, go right ahead.
Someone had a question about 500 Dove Road.
Yes.
And I believe that's at the corner of Kirkwood Boulevard and Dove. And I know someone that works there that's a Verizon facility.
It is. Okay.
Okay.
Very good. Thanks very much.
Okay.
And let's see, Suja in Irving. Does that sound right to you? Are you there?
Hello?
Yes, Suja. Does that sound right to you, the address on Dove Road?
Yeah, that's the same thing. It's a Verizon wireless building.
Very good. Thanks very much.
Yeah, thank you.
800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Let's see, Kelly in Arlington writes, during the fall, there was a program on which an author read her novel. At one point, she described the character who slipped on a grape and scared her by telling her she'd seen people die that way. Does anybody know the name of the book? Okay. Let's see. Terry and Sherman wants to know why helicopters produce a thudding sound when going overhead instead of the steady roar of propeller planes. And let's see. Stuart in Bartonville says, I store various small items in zipper-closed plastic bags, Ziploc bags, usually in the junk drawer. Almost without fail, I'll open the junk drawer weeks later, and I'll find the bag puffed up like a pillow. While some items, such as batteries, could be explained with off-gassing, I'm not sure about the keys, extra Christmas light bulbs, etc. Does anyone know why this happens? 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Let's talk next to Jim in Coppell. Hello, Jim.
Hey, how are you?
Doing fine.
Good. I've got an answer for the pothole question. And actually, last year, Dallas had its very first annual pottery invitational, and I think the second one's coming up again here very quickly. But
okay.
That comes from the 35,000 years that people have been putting together ceramics. And there was a time when potters could find the very best clay for their pot out in the middle of the road. So they would sneak out in the middle of the night and dig up a bunch of clay that would then be turned into pots. And, of course, that would leave big gaping holes in the middle of the roads.
So, thus, a pothole.
That's a pothole.
Great. Thanks
so
much.
Okay, thank you.
800-933-5372. Let's talk next to Michael in Arlington. Hello, Michael.
Hi there. So I've got a question. I used to live in New York City, mm-hmm. and for a hobby, I did lost wax casting to make jewelry. And ever since I moved to the Dallas-Fort Worth area, I haven't been able to find any place that offers that. You can basically carve small, whatever out of wax and take it in for a small fee for the casting plus the cost of the metal. they would make it into whatever it was.
Hmm. So you're looking for a place that, will do that for you?
Yeah. It was called Metallurgy, the name of the place in New York.
Right.
So I don't know if that's part of the process or I Googled it, but I couldn't find anything. So.
All right. Well, we'll ask and see if we get an answer for you.
All right.
Thanks, Michael. 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Dell has written us. Michael Row the Boat Ashore was a spiritual slave song who lived on the Outer Bank Islands of South Carolina, the South Carolina shore. Whenever they rowed their boats to the mainland, they were praying to the Archangel Michael to row them safely to shore. He says this was an answer on the game show Jeopardy. Let's see. Jody in University Park says the answer to the question concerning the highway signs on 75 North, now saying McKinney instead of Sherman, TxDOT changed those signs out a few months ago due to an increase in population in the city of McKinney. Mark in Mesquite concurs, says, as far as I was aware, major highway signs such as 75 North McKinney usually list the next largest city in that direction before the traveler will be leaving the state. This may be the reason the sign was changed to read McKinney instead of Sherman. 800-933-5372. Up next is Mike in Richardson. Hello, Mike.
Hi. I was calling about an answer for the DART police.
Mm-hmm.
The story that I get from other policemen out there is that the DART police have some of the largest jurisdiction in the area.
Okay.
And I have observed this directly in that I've seen them stop and had friends of mine stop far outside what would be considered the boundaries of the train tracks or anywhere else. So because they run in several counties, there's apparently a little bit of friction between them and some of the other police jurisdictions out there because of their actual large jurisdiction.
Okay. Very good.
Thanks.
Thanks a lot. 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Oh, an answer to the Mercedes wheel angle. Kip writes, the wheels of a Mercedes are engineered to shrink the turning radius, but at the same time maintain stability at high speeds. Mercedes, even the big sedans, have a very small turning radius for their wheelbase. The mechanics and engineering of progressive steering, this angling of the wheels, allows a very small turning radius without jeopardizing high-speed stability. Small changes at high speed produce pronounced results, which is the opposite of the steering characteristics you need. More steering with less pronounced results at low speeds, like in parallel parking. Thanks very much, Kip. Questions that have come in. Roy in Fort Worth writes, every cold morning when I turn on any hot water faucet, as the cold water slowly becomes hot, the sound or noise or pitch of the water coming out changes. Why is that? And Marty in Arlington writes, we're fixing up a house to sell. Does anyone know in the living room which is a more sellable feature, carpet or tile? Call us, 800-933-5372. Email us anything at kera.org. Up next is John in Richardson. Hello, John.
Hello. Hey, I was actually going to give you the answer to that road sign question because I learned that on this show. I don't know if you were off that day or what, but I know I'd heard that on anything.
Yeah, there was an article in the morning news about it, I think, that day, and someone asked, and I think we pulled it out. So.
Oh, okay. Well, and while I was on hold, I heard the guy talking about off-gassing from batteries, and I store my batteries in like a plastic container. And every time, or sometimes when I open it, I can detect this odor. Is there a safe or proper way to store batteries to, you know, avoid, you know, is that gas harmful, that off-gas?
Okay. Well, we'll ask, and I'm sure someone will have an opinion for you.
Thank you much.
Thanks, John. Up next at 800-933-5372 is Buck in Arlington. Hello, Buck.
Yes, sir.
Go right ahead.
I believe the question is, can constables ticket people?
Yes.
Okay. The answer is yes. It's a question of whether that particular county or that particular constable, what deputy's out doing traffic or not. But in most places, yeah, they enforce traffic laws.
Okay.
Amidst their other duties.
I think the answer
kind of
a
question of practice rather than law.
Right. I think the answer we've gotten before is that, I guess, any sworn peace officer can can make a stop or can
right.
enforce the law if they see it.
Yeah, the only issue then tends to be what your jurisdiction is defined by your agency.
Right.
And so for us, it's it tends to be countywide.
Okay.
Or, you know, any contiguous county. So it's actually a pretty big area. The only thing we can't do outside our county is seize property and sell it.
Now, are you with are you the Tarrant County Constable's Office? Or the Sheriff's Department?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Okay. Well, you just said with us, so I was just curious. Well, thank
you. I think, well, you had another question about, other counties?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can serve anything pretty much anywhere. And you can serve a warrant pretty much anywhere. And I've gone to other counties to pick people up. It's only seizing items and selling them, you know, under court order that you can only in your own county.
Right. Okay.
Other than that, you go anywhere.
Great. Hey, thanks very much for calling. I really appreciate the informed answer.
Take care.
And let's get one more on that from Roger in Burleson. Hello, Roger.
Yeah, just a little further on that.
Sure.
There was a while back, I believe it was in Dallas County or some of the other counties here in the Metroplex where the constable's duties were, or the duty of doing traffic stops in certain areas was turned over to constables to free up the actual police department in certain areas.
Hmm.
And so they were not necessarily assigned, but they were just given the duty of, you know, handling certain highways, certain districts with traffic so that the police could tend to other things.
Very good. Thanks very much. 800-933-5372 is the phone number. The email address, anything@kera.org. One from Chris in Minneapolis. My question, Chris, rises in two parts about the highway mile marker and exit numbering on merged highways. When two similar status U.S. or interstate highways merge, how is it determined which highway's mile marker numbering system will be used on the ensuing road? Are the lower numbered highways numbers used? Does the east-west highway have priority over the north-south highway? And further, Chris asks, when I-35 splits in Minnesota and North Texas, how is it determined which branch, east or west, retained the I-35 mile marker numbering? In Texas, it's 35 east. In Minnesota, it's 35 west. And it's not which highway passes through the bigger city, because I-35W in Minnesota passes through Minneapolis, and I-35 east goes through less populous St. Paul. Yet it's I-35 east which retains the I-35 numbering scheme. Call us, 800-933-5372. Email us, anything@kera.org. We'll be right back. It's Anything You Ever Wanted to Know on KERA in Dallas, Fort Worth, Denton. I'm Jeff Whittington. The telephone number, 800-933-5372. Our email address, anything@kera.org. Let's talk next to Michelle in Denton. Hello, Michelle.
Hey, I had an answer to the question about someone here heard on NPR a story about a lady slipping on a grape.
Yes.
That was David Sedaris. It was on This American Life. He was reading from one of his books, but it was just a short story. I'm not sure what the book was.
Oh, okay. Very good. Thanks so much.
It was. All right.
Up next is Stuart in Bartonville. Hello, Stuart.
Hi. How are you doing?
Doing fine.
I have an answer or hopeful help for the gentleman looking for a place to cast jewelry.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if there are any places in the Metroplex that offer that service, but I would suggest calling like a community college. 20-some years ago, I took a class at Brookhaven in that technique. Just to access their equipment. I learned how to do it in high school, but when I wanted to make wedding bands for my wife and myself, I just simply went to a continuing education class in jewelry making and used their facilities. And if this gentleman doesn't know how to do that, it's great art to learn anyway. So I would try Brookhaven or one of the community colleges around town.
Great. That's a great suggestion. Thanks, Stuart.
All right. Thanks. Bye.
Let's see. Questions that have come in. Jack wants to know if Millennia T is sold anywhere in the Metroplex. Roy in Fort Worth writes, lately I've noticed many Union Pacific locomotives parked idle end-to-end at the Hewlin Yards in Fort Worth between the Hewlin Bridge and Bryant Irvin. Why are they parked idle there, and why are they not being used? Adam in the Colony wants to know, what is the government, what is the building, rather, that sits off the northwest corner of Northwest Highway and I-35E. It looks like some sort of government facility, he writes. Also, says, helicopters make that distinct noise because the exhaust from the engine passes through the rotors. This causes the intermittent sound. Katrina in Oak Cliff says, in my experience as a realtor, most buyers want to see hardwood flooring in the living area. Carpet is second to hardwood floors, and Katrina says tile is not desirable for a living room. Wade in Plano says the Craft Guild of Dallas does lost wax jewelry casting, as well as teaches classes and workshops on it. So check out the Craft Guild of Dallas. Let's see. David writes, DART police are sworn officers. They can enforce any laws, but specifically they enforce carpool lane laws and fare rules on DART trains. And he also says Ziploc bags will puff up if air pressure drops between the time that you closed it up and when you look at it again. 800-933-5372. Up next is Jennifer in Hearst. Hello, Jennifer.
Hi. I have a question about something I've seen in Hearst and in North Richland Hills at the traffic lights. A strange light that looks like a strobe light, and it seems to flash at random times. I'm wondering, what is it and what does it do?
Is it within the light?
No, it seems to be kind of on, like, perhaps one of the street lights. Sitting on top of that, and I've just noticed the flash every once in a while, and I've just noticed recently there seems to be some sort of light.
You know, it might be an automatic like ticket camera.
Because
those have,
there are cameras on those lights.
That's what it is. Then whenever that happens, it's detected that someone just got a ticket.
Well, I hope it hasn't been me.
Well, I think that's probably what it is, because I see in East Allis at Mockingbird and Greenville there. Our automatic cameras there, and those strobes are going off all the time.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
You bet. 800-933-5372. Up next is Mark in McKinney. Hello, Mark.
Hi, Jeff. How you doing?
Doing well.
A simple question for you. I've recently moved here. Well, it's been about 2 years from Western states, and I've noticed that up here in McKinney and some other Collin County cities, they don't have bike lanes. They're not building bike lanes on the new roads, and it's absolutely bizarre to me. Why is that?
Well, we'll ask and see if we get an answer for you.
All right. Thanks.
800-933-5372. Email address anything@kera.org. Let's talk next to Tom in Arlington. Hello, Tom.
Yeah, to add something to the helicopter question,
you bet.
The reason helicopters make a louder whooshing sound than propeller airplanes is because it always takes more energy to hover than to simply glide forward, and like with a fixed-wing aircraft. It has a much longer rotor blade, the helicopter, and it rotates more slowly, so it makes a deeper bass sound. And it's impossible to make a completely stealthy helicopter, even though the CIA has tried. I'm sure, you know, we see in the movies, oh, the invisible black helicopters,
right.
Because even though you may not be able to see them, you can always hear a helicopter coming over a mile away, and that will never stop. I mean, you'll always be able to hear it. And the engine has something to do with it, but it's also the much larger rotor blades and the fact that the engine has to work so much harder to hover than to fly forward.
Yeah,
because
like all of the with a fixed-wing aircraft, the speed and the curve of the wing generates the lift that actually pushes up on the on the wings. But with a helicopter, the rotors and the engine are doing 100% of it.
Exactly, and that interferes with the sound of the engine. I mean, you can fly forward with a lawnmower engine. I mean, they make little glider planes.
Right.
You put a lawnmower engine on it and fly forward at 40 or 50 miles an hour, no problem. But helicopters require a lot of energy. It's much more complicated, and they've tried to make them quiet. The CIA and the Air Force have tried to make silent helicopters, and no matter how hard they try, they can't do it. I mean, they can make them infrared, and they can make them invisible to radar and all these things, but they're not stealthy because you can hear them for miles and miles away.
I'm sure even just plain old non-spy helicopter engineers have tried to make helicopters too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's like any engine. If you make the engine more efficient and you make the blades out of a better quality material, you can reduce the sound. The loudest helicopters you'll hear in the Metroplex, or you can hear like 10 miles away, are the Chinooks, the double rotor military transport helicopters, which the guys trained to fly those here in the Metroplex out in the Fort Worth area and southwest part of Tarrant County. And I can hear those all the time in my house, and I know it's a Chinook from far away. And anyone in the world almost can recognize the sound of an American Chinook helicopter because the blades are so big and the engine's so big.
Well, Tom, thanks for calling.
Thanks.
All right. Up next, 800-933-5372. Let's talk next to Rick in Fort Worth. Hello, Rick.
Hey, good afternoon. How are you?
Doing well.
Hey, you had a caller on there that wanted to know a jewelry store that did castings.
Right, someplace where you can essentially take a design or something you've carved and have it casted.
Yeah, and gentleman that'll do that is probably Abe's Jewelers, and I think they're over in Keller. Telephone number is.
Let's not give out the telephone number on the air, Rick.
Okay.
But tell me the name of the place again.
Abe's.
Abe's. Okay, I'll put you on hold, and we'll get that phone number from you. Okay. Thanks for calling. 800-933-5372. Up next is Diane in Carrollton. Hello, Diane.
Well, hi. Well, after hearing the helicopter information, I guess it really was a UFO that I saw because it was noise-free.
Okay.
Well, anyway, I was calling in regards to the gentleman wanting the lost wax technique.
Yeah.
And I believe there's still the Ola Podrida shopping mall that's just a little bit southwest of the Coit LBJ Highway.
It used to be there. It used to be there. It's been gone for a few years.
Has it been?
It
well,
has been.
I was thinking I last visited it about 2 years or maybe three.
Right.
It might be gone, yes. Okay, well, sorry about that.
That's okay. Thanks very much for calling.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
Let's see. We did get also, from Ann, who says, faithful listener and member of KERA. Thank you, Ann. Agrees that the Craft Guild of Dallas at Proton Road used to offer jewelry making classes, and if they don't offer the specific classes, they could probably point him in the right direction for lost wax casting. So what we'll do is we'll make sure we put a link. Well, here's the website right here, craftguildofdallas.com. This comes from Christine, who says the Craft Guild of Dallas offers classes of all levels. The class includes use of their casting equipment. If this does not suit, the caller can probably contact the Craft Guild, and they may be able to give him a referral for any facilities in the area that will do the casting themselves. Let's see. Both Brookhaven College and the Creative Arts Center offer jewelry classes. However, I don't know if they are equipped for casting. But there's a web address here, craftguildofdallas, all one word, .com. And what we'll do is we'll put a link to that on the Anything page, kera.org/anything. Michelle says, I believe the name of the TV show where you only see the commentator's hands is People Like Us, a mockumentary about various professions in the UK. The DVD of the first season is available from Amazon, but it's in the European format, not American, so you need to have it converted or have a regionless DVD player to be able to watch it at home. People Like Us. I think that sounds familiar. 800-933-5372. Let's talk next to Dylan in Oak Cliff. Hello, Dylan.
Hi there. I had an answer for the question about the building that's located at the northwest corner of Northwest Highway and 35.
Yeah.
That's the Dallas field office of the FBI.
So it is it's not a vaguely governmental building. It's a governmental building.
It's a full-on governmental building, and I think it's kind of low profile for a reason.
Great. Well, thanks so much.
Thank you. Bye.
800-933-5372. Let's see. Karen in Euless. Says, I wish I'd thought of asking this earlier in the program. Does someone know a large, open-space, smoke-free sports bar near the Mid-Cities to watch the playoff games this weekend and also the Super Bowl? Karen says, thanks, and go Ravens. I would say, Karen, that next year in Dallas, I think the smoking ban goes into effect April 1st. Every sports bar will be smoke-free, but we'll see if we can get a suggestion here in the last 4 or 5 minutes. Anita in St. Joe says, I'm involved in the development of a small town public library with very limited resources. We need 200 bookends, and I wonder if someone listening knows of an inexpensive or free source. Used is fine. I would look at freecycle.org, Anita. That's one suggestion we get all the time. Maybe someone will have those, but we'll ask. And if we can't get an answer today, then tune in next week. 800-933-5372 is where we find Raphael in Dallas. Hello, Raphael.
Oh, that's me.
Yes, that is you.
Hello.
Yes, please turn your radio down.
Yes, I am.
Okay, go right ahead.
I would like to ask if anybody has done any research on the damage caused by high voltage lines. I have tried to use the Cathy Trail for jogging.
Right.
And I know there's an old voltage line running along the trail. And as a matter of fact, when I turned my radio on, practically I hear a total loss of signal because because of the voltage line. And I know it affects human bodies. Has anybody done any research on that?
Well, we'll ask, and if we get an answer, maybe it'll be next week, okay?
All right.
All right, thanks for calling.
Thank you. When are you going in the air next week?
Friday's at noon.
Friday's at noon. All right.
Yep.
Thank
All right.
you.
Thanks, Raphael. Bye-bye. Let's talk next to Joe in Frisco. Hello, Joe.
Hi.
Yes, go right ahead.
Yeah, I have an answer for the highway numbering question.
You bet.
Interstate highways start numbering at their furthest west or furthest southern point, and then they go from there. And what will happen is when they split off like that, it's the one that's the division that happens furthest north, furthest west, that will take that numbering system.
So the division that happens furthest north or furthest west.
So 35 going through Dallas, that spot that where it splits off.
Right.
Basically where it divides, according to the way they say it goes, would be the east one, 35E divides further north. And so in Dallas, it takes the 35E numbering system. In Minnesota, it will take the 35W numbering system.
Great. Thanks so much.
Okay.
Let's get one more on the helicopter from David in Azle. Hello, David.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing fine.
Hey, it's my understanding on the helicopters, the reason they make the noise that they do is those wingtips exceed the speed of sound, and you're actually hearing that.
So you're hearing sort of like a series of sonic booms.
That's correct. And you can design it in such a way that it'll reduce the noise and so forth, but you can't eliminate it completely.
Okay. Well, thanks very much for calling.
You're welcome.
Let's talk. I think we can squeeze in one or two more callers. Let's talk to Stephen in Dallas. Hello, Stephen.
Hi. How are you doing today?
Doing fine.
I had a question regarding a structure on 35. It's just before 635 on the western side of 35E, and it's just behind the speed zone there. It's a giant metallic structure. It seemed to go up rather quickly. It doesn't look like a building. It almost looks like it may have a satellite dish. I was curious if anybody knows what that structure is.
Okay. Well, we'll ask and try to get an answer for you for next week's show.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. And one more quick call from Nancy in Carrollton. Hello, Nancy. Really quickly.
Hi. Just before you went on the air, there was an announcement on KER Radio about the broadcasting of the inauguration.
Right.
And I couldn't catch it all because someone was talking to me, but it sounded like they were saying there were parts of it that were going to be on cable and maybe satellite wouldn't be able to get on regular broadcast for several hours later.
Hmm. Well, I'm not sure about that. I know that we're broadcasting it live right here on KERA 90.1 on Tuesday, but sorry for the confusion. Yes, we are.
On radio. Okay.
All right. Thanks, Nancy.
Thank you. Bye.
Anything You Ever Wanted to Know is produced by yours truly. Jeannie Mascoro runs the board. Thanks, Jeannie. Fiona Norton answers the phones. Thank you, Fiona. And our assistant producer is Brandilyn Barnett. Thank you very much, Brandilyn. You can download episodes of the show at KERA.org. You can even sign up for the free weekly podcast while you're there. And, of course, send your questions, answers, comments, and suggestions to us at anything@KERA.org. Once again, I'm Jeff Whittington. Thank you so much for listening, and have a fantastic weekend.